This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, October 1st. Well, quite a day yesterday with the September 30th small grain summary and the quarterly stocks report. We were leaning toward bullish numbers for corn and soybeans, and we certainly did not get that. But USDA did add some fuel to the bullish fire for wheat, and wheat had a nice, strong positive reaction despite some pressure in the row crops. So let's dig into the numbers. We've got for wheat production, all wheat at 1.646 billion bushels. That was down 51 million from the August crop report from USDA, and it was down 34 million from the average trade estimate. It was also down 180 million from last year, which is a 10% drop from last year's all wheat production. Winter wheat production at 1.277 billion bushels was down 42 from the August estimate and down 44 from the average trade guess. It was up 9% from last year at 106 million bushels over last year's production. Now, when you break down the winter wheat, we saw that hard red winter wheat at 749 million bushels was down 28 million from the August estimate and down 31 from the average trade estimate, but it was still up 90 million over last year's 659 million. So that's a jump of 14% for all hard red winter wheat production over last year. Soft red winter wheat production at 361 million bushels is down 5 from the August estimate, down just 3 from the average trade estimate, but still up 95 over last year. So that's a 36% jump in soft red production. For white wheat, some problems in the PNW had production at 167 million bushels. That is down 10 million from the August estimate, down 9 from the average trade estimate, but down 67 million from last year. That's a drop of 27% for soft white wheat, or white wheat in general. In spring wheat, 331 million bushels produced this year, down 12 million from the August estimate, up 4 from the average trade estimate, but down a whopping 255 million from last year. That's a drop of 43%. In durum, 37 million bushels produced. That was up 2 from the August estimate, up 3 from the average trade guess, down 32 million from last year. That's a drop of 46%. For wheat harvested acres, 37.2 million acres, that's down 900,000 acres from last month and up 1% from last year. So of course, what we're seeing here is more abandonment in the spring wheat acres than what was reported in the August crop report. Yield at 44.3 bushels an acre, that was down 0.2 bushels an acre from last month and down 5.4 from last year. In oats production, we'll just quickly cruise through some other small grains. Oats production at 39.8 million bushels, that was a record low. That was down 39% from last year. Yield at 61.3 bushels an acre, down 3.8 bushels from last year. Harvested acres were down 36% from last year at 650,000 acres. Barley production was 118 million bushels, down 31% from last year. Yield at 60.4 bushels an acre, down 16.8 bushels from last year, and harvested area at 1.95 million acres, down 12% from last year. So a lot of abandonment across the Northern Plains, which we pretty much knew. We all know what went on there, so it was not too surprising to see the yields and the harvested acres be just, substantially lower than last year. So that's pretty much the wrap-up of the small grain summary. We also had the quarterly stocks report. And for wheat, stocks as of September 1st were sitting at 1.78 billion bushels. That was down 72 million from the average trade estimate and down 378 million from a year ago. That's a drop of 18%. Corn stocks at 1.236 billion bushels. That was up 81 million over the average trade estimate, but still down 683 million from last year. That's a drop of 36%. Soybeans at 256 million bushels as of SEP 1. That was 82 million over the average trade estimate, but still down 269 million from last year. That's a drop of 51%. Most of the soybean increase in stocks came on an increase in production from a year ago. So USDA is still adjusting numbers from last year's production, and that bumped up soybean stocks much more than expected. So soybeans just fell out of bed. They were sharply lower, down 30 cents in a heartbeat. Corn was down a good 15 cents as well. Wheat kind of got drugged down by the row crops, but it quickly snapped back. Within just a minute or two, it snapped back and started just to push higher, and ended the day up a good 20 cents in Chicago, or excuse me, Kansas City, up 15 in Chicago. Minneapolis kind of being the lagger here, probably a surprise that spring wheat numbers were a little bit higher than the trade expected. So it definitely is the follower, but when you look at the chart formations, it now appears that Kansas City has become the leader. But, you know, Minneapolis never really had the correction that Chicago and Kansas City did. It just went flat. In fact, it's been flat for almost 3 months, you know, 2.5 to 3 months now. The market in Minneapolis has traded in a fairly narrow range at the top end of a long bull market up, a long uptrend. That would suggest to me that, you know, obviously the market is finding very solid support on even minor pullbacks, that we still have yet another leg to go in spring wheat to the upside. With the market formation, you know, as firm as it is and as solid as it is on the pullbacks. KC and Chicago had more of a break. You know, they chopped around, they had more selling pressure come in there. But these numbers are bullish for wheat. And again, we were already in a bull market, led pretty much by the disaster in spring wheat country. Well, that now clearly has, for the most part, been priced into the market, and now it's the winter wheats that are starting to move higher. And we're getting some follow-through on the night session as well. Kansas City's up 10, Chicago up 13, Minneapolis is also up 10. Beans are still down 1, corn is up 2. So corn actually closed pretty well yesterday. We were only down a couple by the end of the day. Soybeans were still under a fair amount of pressure. So we're trying to come up for air here in soybeans. That's going to be difficult to do, but for corn, you know, it had already started to move higher, it, kind of confirming that the seasonal lows were already in early September. Beans might be a bit of a drag on corn, but I think corn will be able to stand on its own. It has very little export competition. Soybeans will see some competition from Brazil. Corn will not. And wheat, of course, I think will just continue to move higher. Our seasonal window is early October. I thought it would stretch to mid-October because of the underlying bull market anyway, and the absence of Russia from the export market. I still think we're going to probably see some seasonal highs into mid-October, which is only a couple weeks away, that we'll probably see some pullback, if nothing, or just move sideways as you get into the harvest from the southern hemisphere. I think the bull market is intact. I don't think we're going to see any notable sell-offs in the wheat space. And of course, we're watching the GMO wheat issue in Argentina. Are buyers going to start rejecting Argentine wheat? That would absolutely be a massive development in the market. I kind of doubt they will. They'll be testing every cargo, and if they start rejecting cargoes, that would certainly be in the bullish camp. But it's hard to envision the entire Argentine crop suddenly becoming, you know, unusable by the world marketplace. It'll probably go to poorer countries, but it'll find its way into the pipeline, I would think. Australia, of course, is going to be the soft white wheat that'll go into the Southeast Asian market. So both of those usually have some sort of pressure on prices as you get into late fall, early winter. But again, the bull market in wheat is fully intact. We are slated to get some rains in the southern plains. That obviously would help the market be well established as it heads into dormancy. The far western plains look like they're going to miss most of those rains. That's obviously a more of a bullish component. It's not unusual to see that happen either. Be as it may, I think wheat still has some upside potential to it, and it looks like Kansas City and or Minneapolis would be your leader here. Just the quality wheats, spring wheat is not going to give up, obviously, and I think that as you get into spring, that's where you really get your bull market taking hold, that the battle for acres will be full on, not only between the row crops across the Dakotas and Minnesota, But throw spring wheat into that now. You've got to have either more spring wheat acres or a good year. And if it's remotely dry, headed into spring planting time, I think these markets really take off to the upside, especially spring wheat. Now, we had an export sales report yesterday. Wheat at 290,000 tons was a little disappointing. It was right at the low end of the range of estimates. Corn at 370,000, that was below the low end of the range of estimates. And soybeans at 1.1 million ton, that was at the high end of the range of estimates. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange has wheat at 2% mature, so we're going to see harvest kicking up here pretty soon in Argentina. 51% is rated good to excellent, which is up one from last week. 24% is rated poor, which is also up one from last week. In weather, we talked about that a little bit already, but the drought monitor is showing that drought remains in pretty much the entire western third of the United States, except the far northwest corner of the PNW. They've had pretty good rains lately. We're probably going to see drought removal likely in the central plains. That was teetering on drought. Now they're suggesting that it's probably going to be removed. So it's so far things look okay in the southern and central plains for the winter wheat crop. You know, there's enough moisture in the ground that it should germinate well, be pretty well established as it heads into dormancy. So it's really about, you know, winter weather, which, you know, we've seen some pretty harsh winter weather and even spring freezes, which don't do a lot of damage to the crop. So it's mostly a matter of what the spring brings. But obviously, if you get the acres in and they're well established heading into dormancy, that gives you an advantage as you head into the spring. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.